Please be seated. I don't know about you, but it seemed to me that this week was one for returning to routine and ritual, back to our sort of normal everyday lives. We've encountered new routines, family and travel plans. All those obligations have been met. The parties are over, unfortunately. And life has returned to some sense of normal. Many of the students at youth group either lamented or proclaimed with joy their return to school this week. My arms and back and legs are feeling the pain that comes with a renewed gym routine. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Many of you had a full five-day week once again at work, or your kids have gone back to school, so your stay-at-home life is less or just differently busy. Perhaps our grandkids or other extended family have left, and now life is back to its quiet pace. Whatever the situation may be, we have at least attempted to settle back into our normal routines, our normal rituals of life. We all have them, and each part of our life is made up of them. They are those things that make our life seem like they can go on each day. They help us get everyone out the door in the morning or picked up in the afternoon. They are what we do when we go to bed each night. These rituals and routines are likely the same each and every day, which may just be a necessity of life, certainly. But they are also what enable us to live more fully. There are some that are more mundane, of course. Maybe this is weird. I do the same thing before I go to bed in the same order each night, and maybe I'm not the only one, I hope. We try to settle into new routines. We take on a new resolution this time of year, something like going to the gym or studying scripture. It seems that it's just something humans do. We order our lives in this way. We experience and create rituals throughout our week here in our church. They help us to keep things in order. They help us into living more fully. We experience many sacred and spiritual rituals within the life of the church, in addition to our sort of Monday through Friday lives. There are rituals that we do and we see frequently, a baptism or celebrating the Eucharist, and others less so. Neither has less or more meaning, and in fact, the repetition of some may just be what we need to see the holy that day. The words become a part of us. They begin to form us. Our prayers say something of what we believe. And they also have the ability to change us into what we are saying. Each week we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, in which ordinary bread and wine are transformed into the body and blood of Christ for nourishment in this work. Frequently at St. Thomas we celebrate the incorporation of another person into the family of God in baptism, taking ordinary people, ordinary water and oil. Rituals have the power, even in their repetition, to transform ordinary and basic into wonderfully extraordinary and grace-filled moments. Today, the church remembers and celebrates the baptism of our Lord. This is the feast that always falls the Sunday after Epiphany, which is on January 6th. And on this day, it seems that we are invited to examine and reflect on Christ's baptism, especially as it relates to our own, and the life that we live because of that. The Gospel of Mark offers a unique account of these events of Jesus' baptism. The Gospel of Mark starts immediately with Jesus' baptism. The other two synoptics don't start that way, Matthew and Luke. So I think that says something about Jesus' life, sort of right from the very beginning. We know that he is beloved of God. Another example that sticks out to me from this reading this time is the heavens tearing open and saying, the Spirit descended on like a dove on him, and the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The verb in Greek that's used for torn apart here is only seen one other time in Mark, when the heavens are torn apart at Jesus' crucifixion. And when the centurion says, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Right at the end. Jesus' identity as the Son of God is proclaimed and realized at the beginning and end of his earthly ministry. It is with him his entire life. It is who he is throughout all that he does. Our identity as children of God, as beloved of God, is one that we cannot get rid of. It is true and perhaps the truest part of who we are. It is with us throughout our whole lives. It was given to us at our own baptism. Each time we see someone participate in this ritual and be received into the household of God, we are reminded that we too are members of that household, of that family. And we are invited to live as such. I have spent much of the last week praying about and considering the idea of call in one's life, as you might imagine. As I said before, there are some rituals in our lives that we live every day, and some within our faith community that we see more frequently, and there are others that we don't. Namely, the one that's on my mind is being ordained priest yesterday. This is a wonderful moment in my own life, really in the life of this community, as so many of you were there, singing, acolyting, just being present and being a comforting present in a sort of crazy day and a wonderful day. Throughout this several year long process to this moment, I was asked, and I'm sure Father Ben and Father Gar could attest to this, they were probably too. Is this something that you've known you are called to do your whole life? It's a bit of a tricky question. I've never really known how to answer it, so I've always just sort of settled on something like, in short, yes, and sort of tried to figure it out in my head what that meant. But it wasn't without a great deal of discernment and prayer and intentional reflection that I got to this point. This ordination was, like all rituals, full of transformation, of me into a priest, into a more full sense of who God is calling me to be, and in certainly many other ways. It was an outward sign of the call I have been given as one who is baptized and who seeks to follow God in the world. Not all of our calls will lead to ordination, though some may. But that does not change the fact that all of us are called by God to live out the identity given to us as beloved children. Many, if not all of us, including me throughout the process towards ordination, have never heard the heavens tear apart and the voice of God speaking and the Spirit descending, telling us that we are God's beloved. And with us, God is well pleased. Our directions for how God is inviting us to live our lives are not always perfectly clear. That does not change the fact that we are beloved of God. And this identity calls us into action. Though it may not feel like it some days, or we cannot see or hear that God is with us, much less loves us, it is still true. God loves you, God loves me, God loves all of us entirely and completely. Not only is our identity and our very being beloved of God, but we are also called by God by virtue of our baptism. We are all called. And at one point in our lives, we were the ordinary person participating in that baptism ritual, being adopted as children of God. And just as I took vows yesterday to live and serve and work as a priest, we have all taken, or someone else has taken for us, baptismal vows that direct and order our lives as followers of Christ. These vows give us some guidance in living our lives this way. The vows I and every priest have taken within the ritual of ordination are to pray, to study Scripture diligently, to be a pastor and servant, to celebrate the sacraments, and to preach and teach. If you read it, it's actually more beautifully written than that. The vows we have all promised within the ritual of baptism are to be in worship regularly in fellowship with each other, to respect the dignity of each and every person. We are called to strive for justice and peace, to seek and serve Christ in all people, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. These are profound calls to action. They're not just ideas. There are ways in which, in our own lives, lived each day, we can seek to be more faithful followers of Christ. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus hears that he is God's beloved Son, break forth from the heavens at his baptism and crucifixion. His identity as God's Son is known and revealed throughout his life and ministry that occurs between these two events. it ultimately leads to Jesus' death. Hopefully that won't be the case for us. But there is some risk, there is some cost associated with following Christ. The world says not to. The world says to look out for ourselves, get as much as we can while we can, and do whatever for ourselves that we need to do at the cost of anybody else. But our faith and our identity as children of God pulls us away from this profoundly. As those who have been baptized into a life following Christ, we are called and we are to live as Christ did. We are to visit the lonely, feed the hungry, care for the cold, welcome the stranger. Not all of us are called to the priesthood and the ritual of ordination, but all of us, each one of us, is called to live and to serve God by doing the very things our baptismal vows say. We have been given this identity as beloved children of God, and we are called to act on that. In Christ's own baptism, we read of the start of his earthly ministry in which he healed the sick, cared for those who had otherwise been rejected, and loved all. In Christ's baptism, we come to know that he is the Son of God, that he is beloved of God. In our baptism, we have been adopted as God's children and told that we are loved more than we could ask or imagine. In our baptism, we take a share in the ministry of Christ in this world, because in doing so, we work to draw the world more fully into the image of God. My prayer is that the Lord, who has called us to do this work and service in the world, will use us to transform the world into one that is more quick to forgive, more abundant in love, and caring for all. Amen.